AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Bamature Hour. It is Sunday, August 24, 2025, in the year of our Lord. And today, Dr. T is going to give us his game-by-game predictions. He's going to go through each game and then give us a year-end kind of prediction of what Alabama's record's going to be and whether or not they're going to make the playoffs. And then we're also going to go through first, before we go through his predictions, just some issues and concerns that are major for Alabama this year. And if they want to get where we all want them to go, which is the playoffs and a natty, they're going to have to solve these issues that were lingering from last year and are still question marks going into this year. So those are the items, the news notes. We're going to have a few of those as well. We'll jump into it. But first, thank you for listening and watching us on our YouTube channel. We now have over 3,200 subscribers, and we thank you very much for each and every one of you. If you're watching and haven't subscribed, please subscribe. If you're a subscriber, please hit the notify bell and ring the bell so that you get all the notifications. If you're listening to us on any of the podcast streaming platforms and listening to us, we appreciate that. Follow and like us on that. So now we're going to jump into this. Dr. T, how are you this evening?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Well,
it's just one guy tonight, isn't it? Yeah, I'm doing great. So I played some tennis today, John, and that was fun, and went to church this morning. So it's been a good day. And now I get to talk about Alabama football. So let's go.
Yes, and before that, I got to hear Rick Burgess speak this evening at Man Church, and even though I didn't make church this morning, and God please forgive me, but it was a wonderful message tonight, and so I did get a wonderful message prior to jumping on here, and thank you, Lord, for Rick Burgess. We're happy to have that message, and he is the son of a football coach, so it is football season. It is game week. It is on. Let me share a couple of things on my screen, and I'm going to show this, and we're going to jump in here, and this is it. Okay, number one, news and notes. They've named the captains for the team. We've got Ty Simpson, Parker Brailsford, Tim Keenan, and Deontay Lawson are named as the captains, so I did want to share that with you. Rick, real quick, thoughts about those four guys as the captains, and what do you think about each of them, and what does it mean?
So the first one was Ty Simpson, and you said Parker Brailsford?
That's correct. And then Tim Keenan and Deontay Lawson.
Well, I think, you know, Lawson is kind of the captain on the defense. He's, I think, a three-year starter, middle linebacker. He makes all the calls on the defense, much like a quarterback does on the offense. So that makes sense to me. And then Ty Simpson, I'm thankful they did name him the starter, because, I mean, a captain, because, you know, I was thinking maybe a first-year starter they don't, but I'm thankful they did, because that tells me that I think the other players kind of see him as a leader. And actually, I saw a video the other day of Ryan Williams. You may have seen it also. It was on social media. He actually called Ty Simpson like at 10:30 at night, and he recorded this on his, I guess, social media platform. He called and said, "Hey, bud." And Ty Simpson said, "What's up?" He goes, "Just want to tell you good night, man. I love you, man." He said, anyway, it was really funny. And then when he hung up, he said, Ryan Williams goes, "You got to love your quarterback, man. You got to love your quarterback." So I think there's a lot of, backing around Ty. So that's a good sign. And then Parker Brailsford is a senior, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. And he's probably going to win the Remington Award? Or
Remington, I believe that's correct. Yes.
Yeah. So I think he's on the watch list for that. So I can understand that. And then Tim Keenan, I think he's either a fourth year guy or maybe
senior.
A fifth year
he's
guy.
He's a senior. Yes.
Senior. Yeah. So I like these choices. You have the center, and this quarterback and kind of the center on defense with the defensive lineman and the guy right behind him making the call. So that's a good thing.
And I think it speaks to the fact that this team is a junior and senior laden team.
Right.
We've got guys with lots of experience. It's their time. They've been in this program for a long time and trained and worked, and they're ready for this moment. And we're going to find out on Saturday how ready they are. But I love the fact that we've got really good recruiting classes the last 3 or 4 years. We've got a heavy junior, senior laden starting lineup on both sides of the ball, sprinkled in with a few transfers, but we're not transfer heavy. We've just supplemented these really good recruiting classes and junior senior laden team. So I think we've got the right recipe to have a great season and maybe get to the promised land and get where we want to go. But I love this fact. And so I appreciate the comments that you made on that. And I love who they named as captains. And it speaks a lot about the team's confidence in all of these players and particularly embracing Ty, that Ty is indeed the guy, as I keep saying over and over again. And I hope I'm saying this Saturday night after the game and then I'm just singing his praises and we'll come out of there with the win. I don't care if we win by 1 point, 10 points, or blow them out. Getting a win in Tallahassee is going to be huge. I'm really, really excited about that. Those are my last thoughts on this. Any other parting shots before we move on to a couple other items?
I think we have good captains, and like you said, I think they're embracing Ty as the leader of the team. So I'm excited.
All right, now on to any injuries of note. It looks like Jaden Roberts is out and is not ready to go. And so Vandermark and Dewberry are going to have to step up, but they're ready. I think those guys are ready. They can handle it. They can man both guard positions. We're going to be ready to go there. Obviously, Jam Miller is hurt with a dislocated collarbone, probably out until the Georgia game. So it's an opportunity for those other running backs who don't really have any real history of being effective to step up. I think we got three or four guys that can kind of do the same thing in terms of having shiftiness, speed, ability to make big explosive plays. And then I think you've got Daniel Hill, who is a different kind of running back. So I think it's going to be Daniel Hill plus whichever one of those other guys, whether it's Richard Young or Dre Washington or Kevin Riley or whomever, that sets themselves apart. And I think it's going to be a two-headed monster, in my opinion, unless Daniel Hill proves to be a real bust until Jam Miller's healthy. And I'm hoping these guys are so good that it makes it hard for Jam Miller to get snaps when he comes back, because that means these guys are really good. And I'm still looking for Daniel Hill to be that short yardage back, that goal line back, that fourth and one back. I hope he proves me right. But those are the injury notes I have, is those two guys are Jam Miller and Jaden
Roberts.
Roberts
Yeah.
are out, and but I think we're pretty healthy elsewhere and should be good to
Yeah.
go. Any other things you're hearing
Yeah.
on injuries?
I did hear from a friend of mine who's been to some practices, and also from Kate DeBoer, from Coach DeBoer, that Jam really is the guy. He can do everything pretty well. From blitz protection to, catching out of the backfield to running to, so he's really come on strong, it sounds like, this offseason. So I think it is a loss, but I do think we can manage the first three games without him. But I do think you're right. I think it's going to be Hill and probably Young who are going to take up the slack for now. But I do think we will be happy to have Jam back later.
Well, let's hope those guys are up to the task and get it done, and that Jam comes in and delivers on the promise of what we've all heard from this summer, is that he was really outstanding, because he hasn't proved it game in and game out yet. So I'd like to see him come in, and even though he's probably not going to be able to get 1500 yards this year because of the games he's going to miss, but maybe he still gets 900 to 1100 yards rushing in that last stretch of let's say 8 to 10 games that maybe he could play in, that he comes in and is really outstanding and hits the ground running and is fully healthy and able to go out there and do it. But hopefully it also develops the depth that you want to have at running back. So that's it on those fronts. Any other items you want to bring up? Any news, any other things you've heard of note before we jump into these, what I call issues of concern for 2025?
I think you're good, and I do want to say that I think Jam is still going. Well, I don't want to give too much away or on my prediction, so I'll pause and say I was going to tell you what I think he's going to do toward the end of the year, but let's not worry about that right now. You can keep going down our next topic.
All right, here we go. All right, so we've got the issues, and I'm going to read out all of these items quickly. And so number one issue of concern is the Bama quarterback, because Ty Simpson's never started a game, has very limited experience. Item number two is the offense fixed, more potent and more consistent than in 2024? Item three is the running game. Even though Milroe had a good year as a running quarterback, our running game overall was not up to snuff of what Bama expects. And tied into that's the O-line, right tackle. Are we going to get the production out of the offensive line that we need to have that just effective running game? Is Wilkin Formby at right tackle going to take two steps forward this year and just be spot on and be able to be the bruiser and also be able to handle pass protection issue? The next issue is just the red zone offense and short yardage offense. Last year, our offense was boom or bust. Are we going to be able to do that and effectively in those short yardage situations in the red zone be effective? Item six is the interior D line. Item seven is just defensive discipline, doing your jobs, setting the edge, getting to the quarterback and getting him to the ground, plugging those holes and guys not being out of position and there being wild running lanes. The next item is special teams, with the kicking game and the punt team being of particular concerns. Item 11, too many penalties last year. We've got to do better on that. And then item 12 is DeBoer's inability to win road games in the SEC. 1-3 last year, and boy, two of those SEC losses were bad. So we'll go through these one by one. Let's jump in here. First off, Bama quarterback, and we'll couple this together. Is the offense fixed and more potent? All right, Dr. T, take it away.
So Bama quarterback is an improvement from last year with Ty Simpson. And I'm going to kind of couple these two things together. Number two, is the offense fixed or more potent? I'm going to say yes. I think we have a few factors at play here. One, we have a true experienced offensive coordinator in Ryan Grubb. And last year we didn't. We had a first time guy doing that in Nick Sheridan. So with a quarterback who would be a challenge for any experienced OC to call for. So I mean, if you had Lane Kiffin maybe or Sark, maybe they could handle Milroe better. But I think Sheridan had a hard time. So I think he was kind of handcuffed on top of being a first year play caller. So now we have this year we have an experienced play caller with a true quarterback who knows the position well. His dad was a coach and he knows football very well and how to play that position. So I think automatically that's an advantage. Secondly, we have a lot of returning receivers, returning offensive linemen, second year in the system, even though it may be a little different with Grubb compared to Sheridan. It's a second year with Coach DeBoer, second year in the system. And you have Jam Miller when he's back. It'll be his, I think, third year as a player. And then, so I just think all things point to a more productive offense from the coaching down to the players.
And I'm going to be optimistic and say that's what's going to happen. Grubb comes in, and the Grubb DeBoer combination on offense, from everything from play design, play calling, teaching, holding guys accountable, getting them to do their jobs, getting Ty Simpson to realize he doesn't have to make a big play most of the time. Just get the ball in the right guy's hands. Be a distributor. Make that quick read. Learn how to throw the ball away. And then T Simpson can extend plays with his legs, but don't try to be a superhero where Jalen Milroe really got in trouble. So I think that, quite honestly, I don't think Grubb would be here had Nick Sheridan done a great job last year. I think this isn't an indictment that Nick Sheridan's not ready to be that high-level OC. Maybe he will one day. He's not ready yet because I think if he was that good, why would you bring Grubb back? So I think it's going to be a major upgrade. I'm counting on Ty giving us much of the upside that Milroe had without the downside where Milroe can make those huge negative plays. And then Simpson's going to be a more accurate passer, be more effective in the short intermediate game. I'm counting on all those things. And if we don't see that, it's going to be problems. But I'm going to say optimistically, we're going to be better, and those things are going to be fixed. And I'm excited to see what happens on Saturday. It's going to be really fun. Okay, let's get to the running game and the O-line. Shoot away. Go for it, Rick.
Yeah, so kind of on the heels of what we just talked about, I believe because the offense is going to be an upgrade and more efficient, staying ahead of the chains, I think the running game is going to benefit from that greatly. And also the fact that this quarterback is probably not going to run it 15 times a game, then that means there's more attempts, for the running back. So I think the running backs will do better. I think the offensive line will know what is expected of them. I think when you have a running quarterback like Milroe, a lot of times they're not sure what's happening, what's going to happen. I think they can kind of get more used to the rhythm of the game. And I think they can predict, okay, I know Ty is going to do this here. I know we're going to run here. I just think the flow is going to be so much better for the linemen that they'll know what's coming and they can block better when it is a running play. They're going to know what to do. And because they're going to have a lot more attempts at it, because we'll have running plays for a true running back, not just a running quarterback. And the offensive line, I mean, it is kind of going to be by committee, I think, a little bit with the guards, because we don't know what's going to happen with Roberts when he's coming back. And hopefully, our right tackle's better. I'm hearing he is better in practice, so he has to be better than last year, right? He's a year older, bigger, more experienced. So I just think everything's pointing to more productive offensive line production with running backs, being the benefactors of it.
And on the heels of that, let's talk about red zone offense and short yardage offense as an issue that was concerning last year. We just weren't good in those situations. Thoughts on this year?
I think red zone is going to be better, because you have to remember all the things we said earlier about the OC and Milroe, that as the field shrunk last year, we start to see his weaknesses magnified because he cannot throw short passes, short to intermediate passes. This year, we have a true quarterback who I've already seen in a couple of games where he threw little 10-yard out routes, 5-yard out routes. So when you get down to a short field, it's no problem. The playbook's wide open for this team. And I think short yardage, what's going to happen, I believe, which we'll kind of get to later in the topics, but since we're probably not going to have the best kicking game, I think we're probably going to be better at short yardage, because we're going to do short yardage more often. I think when it's 4th and 1, we're going to go for it more often, even early in the season. So I think we'll be much better equipped for short yardage, and i.e. the goal line or red zone or what have you.
I've got two key things to add to that. Daniel Hill, I think
Yeah.
he's going to be that bruiser for those tough short yardage plays. And if he's effective at that, that really sets up the play action as well. Because if they're loading the line because they're worried about Hill, boy, quick play action. And guess what? Ryan Williams, Jeremy Bernard, and then the other factor in the red zone and short yardage, Isaiah Horton. I think that guy's going to be great. I'm really excited. We didn't have a receiver like him last year that you could throw the 50-50 balls. I mean, do you think any of those guys last year could do what he could do at 6'4" and go up and get those contested balls?
No, they couldn't. And again, Milroe couldn't throw those kind of passes. I mean, short yardage up in the corners of the end zone, he can't do that. Now, if it's like 54 yards at Auburn, he can do it, right? But not on the 5 yard line throwing to a corner of the end zone. That's not his forte. But yeah, Horton at 6'5" is going to be a weapon. And then even John, even Rico Scott, a really fast slot receiver. I've seen, as you have over the years,
How tall is he,
Edelman.
by the way?
I don't remember, but he's not very tall. He's short. But I remember, Edelman for years would catch those passes all the time from Brady, so I'm excited.
I've heard Rico's very athletic too and tough to guard, and his speed may be almost Ryan Williams-esque, that he's really fast too. And so I think he'll be hard to cover when he's in there. I've heard he's going to get a lot of playing time. So great point on Rico Scott.
Yeah, I think he'll play a lot.
All right, let's go to the defensive side. And the biggest note I had in one of it, well, there's really two things. There's the interior defensive line. I'm just worried, do we have enough big bodies to really stuff the run, push the pocket up the middle? And then two is defensive discipline. Those are areas that I'm concerned about. Thoughts on those two areas?
Kind of like the guard position on offense. I feel like defensive line is going to be by committee again. Someone was telling me that what's the Kane? Yeah, Kane Womack was talking about the defensive line recently and said that he's really encouraged because he's going to have probably instead of last year we really lacked depth. This year that he's going to have seven or eight guys that can rotate in and keep in that way, and stay fresh. He felt like last year and some of the games in the third and fourth quarter, we started kind of losing stamina and gave up some touchdowns. They're really thinking based on what they have this year as far as depth. We may not have a Quinnen Williams, we may not have a Barmore, but we have a lot of guys who are good. And so I think it's going to be by committee and probably rotate in three, six to eight guys. So hopefully, as these games go on and our offense is wearing teams down, our defense is fresh.
So Keenan and James Smith are upperclassmen, but the other guys behind them are freshmen and sophomores. So it's good to hear that he thinks they're going to be able to step in and provide the depth we need. Because I do think it's a big issue is when they if one and James Smith has been hurt, but if one of those two guys is out or gassed, can we bring in two or three other guys to really spell them and that can hold up and get that push and stop the interior push of the offensive line and collapse the pocket? So that's good to hear. What about the discipline of the defense this year about doing their jobs, assignment football, good technique football? What are you hearing thoughts there?
But I think, again, much like the offense, I believe being a second year in the system is going to be huge. And I think I'm hearing Deontay Lawson has really gotten the calls well and understands the whole playbook. So I think we're going to see a much better defense as far as discipline goes. Hopefully, we won't see players kicking footballs when they're on the ground and that kind of thing. But
Oh,
yeah, it's crazy. But I just think year two in the system, I think it was a big shocker going from Saban's defense to this defense. The one guy who does the radio, Christian, I forget his last name. He played defensive end probably 8, 9 years ago for Saban. He has a radio show on 100.9. But anyway, he was saying that he talked to one of the players on the team and they said the defense is so different, but they feel like they have it. They understand it now and have a full grasp of it. I just think the discipline problems come when you don't know where you're supposed to be. And I think this year that'll be much better. So I think we'll see a lot better, cohesiveness and just an understanding of where to be and less mental errors.
and that's going to be key. And I thought the defense got better over the year, other than the Oklahoma game. They were terrible on run defense in the Oklahoma game. But really, other than that, I thought the defense stepped up. They improved over the course of the year. And with spring practice, summer practice, they need to be ready to go because we know Gus Malzahn's going to cook up some things and it's going to be a
Yeah.
challenge on Saturday. There's going to be a lot of putting players in conflict. And if you don't do assignment football and do your job, stay at home, don't try to do too much, but you got to do your job. That dual threat quarterback, and they've got some weapons as well that they brought in through the transfer portal. FSU could give us some problems. It's going to be fun to see if they've learned a lot, stepped up, matured, and are ready to take that next step because the defense was good last year. I think they can be great this year. Okay, on to the special teams. I'll let you just say your piece about it and then we'll move on, but it's concerning.
Yeah, what we talked about last time we were together, just it is concerning. The kicking game is very concerning. I think the punting is going to be okay. I think punting is going to be okay. N nothing like J.K. Scott was, but I don't think it's going to hurt us, but I think the kicking could be a problem. I mean, maybe from the last scrimmage till this to this first game, they've gotten better. We can only hope and pray, right? But supposedly, as I told you last time, we need to be 25 yards or in, which is not great to hear. But so yeah, I'm a little bit worried about it, but I'm hoping these games don't come down to a kicker. I hope.
So we're either going to have to be really good at short punting, because if we're having to
Right.
punt from the 35-yard line, or we're going to have to go for it on fourth down. And
Right.
if we throw an interception and it gets caught on the 10-yard line, that's like a punt.
Right.
So you just have to be willing to take that kind of gamble. If our kicking game's not that good and we can't consistently make 45-yard field, I'm okay if the kicker struggles outside of 50, but God, we got to be able to make 40 to 50-yard field goals. And it's tough when you can't rely on that. And am I correct that it's very questionable whether or not he can consistently kick 45-yard field goals. Is that
Yes.
accurate?
Yes, that's what I've heard. Yes. Yeah.
Boy. Okay, we'll pray and we'll hope it doesn't come
Well,
down to a 45-yard kick to win this game. So
listen, John, I think it'll be very telling this weekend if on the first three or four drives we have like a, fourth and one from the from about a 45-yard distance. If we go for it, that'll tell me, oh, we don't need to be, yeah. So that'll tell me, yeah, we don't have a great kicker, but we'll see.
I can't wait. I'm excited
Yeah.
about Saturday. It's coming fast. Okay, let's move on to too many penalties. Fire away.
Well, yeah, harkening back to Vanderbilt, right? And the kicking the football by Malachi Moore. And here's what I think, John. I said last year when DeBoer got here, I felt like he just didn't want to rock the boat, and he just kind of wanted to get through the season. I mean, 9-4 is not awful, but I think he wasn't prepared to be the disciplinarian that he needs to be. And I think this year, I think the gloves are off, so to speak. I think he's like, okay, everyone's bought in. This is my team for sure. There's no holdovers who are waiting on Coach Saban to walk back in the door. They know he's not coming back. It's my team. I can tell people, put up or shut up. And so I think this year will be less penalties, period, for all the reasons we said earlier about offense and defense. And Milroe actually accounted for several penalties last year from, passing the line of scrimmage when he threw. So I think overall penalties will go way down this year.
I'm optimistic on that too. And I do think that you managed to keep most of those high level recruits. We supplemented them with a few key acquisitions in the portal. Didn't go portal heavy, but who we got will look like they're really impact players. And those guys are bought in. They didn't leave the program, they didn't exit. To me, that says a lot about the buy-in that we're able to retain so many of the high level guys that, believe me, other teams were trying to poach. They were trying to get players off our roster, and the fact that they didn't leave. So I'm optimistic that they're getting better. They're learning to be more disciplined, do their job, don't do stuff outside the rules that can just kill your team. So I'm counting on that. So we'll see what happens on Saturday, but I'm cautiously optimistic that we'll be, instead of one of the most penalized teams in the SEC, at least we'll be middle of the pack, if not really low in terms of penalties per game and penalty yards. All right, last topic of concern, DeBoer's inability to win road games in the SEC. 1-3 is not going to get it done. He has got to win major road games, and he's got to hold serve at home and go undefeated. Thoughts?
I mean, I think it's a small sample size, one season. But yes, I mean, 1-3 on the road in the conference is not good for sure. I do think if someone had told me last year that that team was going to go 9-4, I would have assumed we would have lost a couple on the road to an SEC team. So yeah, I mean, Vanderbilt, that's crazy. Oklahoma, okay. I mean, but again, I think some of that is just the byproduct of a team that was not very disciplined, did not have good, coaching from the offensive coordinator position, had not really fully bought in yet to the defense. I mean, they did get better as the season went on. Also, a quarterback, I hate to keep doing this, okay? I know he's not here anymore, but a quarterback who put us in bad situations a lot of times. I mean, he put us behind the chains and so anyway, I just think you're right. He needs to do better. I think this year he'll have the chance to show people, hey, I can win on the road in the conference. I have a good team, a disciplined team, good coaching staff. Let's go do it. And I think we'll find out in the fourth game.
The only thing I have to add to that is they've got to do what Saban did. Don't drink the rat poison and take every game seriously, and don't underestimate how much the team you're getting ready to play wants to beat you, and it will make their season. It made
Right.
Tennessee's season. They were tearing down the goalpost.
Right.
Vanderbilt ripped the goalpost down and
Yeah.
carried them 3 miles, dumped them in the Cumberland River, downtown Nashville, down Broadway. Oklahoma was having a bad season, and that gave them life and re-energized Brent Venables. And then DeBoer and his coaches have to be ready for that letdown. And we'll get through this as we go through the schedule, but we've got five SEC games in a row, and we got to be up each and every week in that stretch where we got five games in a row with no break until Halloween once we go to Georgia. It's going to be a tough stretch. So hopefully he's up to the task, ready to go. Okay, let's jump into your game-by-game predictions. I'm going to flash this up on the screen so that everybody can see this. Here's the schedule, and we're gonna have Dr. T go through each game, give his predictions, and then I'll sprinkle in a little bit of comment, but it's really your show. So let's start with Florida State.
I want to say this, okay? So I'm going to give you game by game, but I also am going to give you my overall ceiling and floor of
Yes,
the season, and they may not add up, and I'll tell you why. But here's the deal.
and when we get to the end, I'm going to force you to pick a record. I'm going
Okay.
to force you to say the best we can do is 12-0 or 11-1, and the
Right.
worst we're going to do is 8-4. So I will kind of hold you in a headlock and make you do that at
Sure.
the end.
All
But
right, you
yes,
might
let's
make me
go through it
I'm
game by game.
So I think Florida State, we go to Tallahassee. We're a better team, period. We go down there. They're not as good as we are. They have good transfers, I think, but we're gonna beat them. So that's a win for Alabama on the road.
Okay, quick note there. It is the battle of the team that recruited really well, kept their players, sprinkled in some key transfer portal acquisitions versus a team that's trying to use a cheat code and use the
Right.
transfer portal to make up for mediocre recruiting. I think that's going to play in Alabama's favor. I think we're going to win, but it's going to be that battle. I don't think the recipe of going too transfer portal heavy, unless you do it like 3 years in a row and maintain players, you can't make up for poor high school recruiting. But that's a key factor for me there. But I agree with you. Bama gets down there, gets a win, 1-0, and there's problems if they don't. Okay. Is there any reason to even talk about Louisiana Monroe?
No.
So that's a win. All right, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. So I went to the game last year at Wisconsin, and I mean, I just felt like it was not a fair fight, and Milrow looked okay in that game, but it just wasn't a fair fight. We had better talent than they did, and that was with the first year coaching staff. I don't think it's a game. I think we win by 20 here at home.
I agree. I think we're going to steamroll them. And I don't think Wisconsin's roster is as good as Florida State. And Wisconsin had to go pretty portal heavy as well. I think that's going to be a mismatch. I agree with you. And being here, they're going to get a rude awakening coming into Bryant-Denny. So
Right.
then we get a week off, then we go to Georgia.
Here's what I think, John. I think we get a week off, and which will be huge. And I think Jim Miller comes back for that practice week, off week. I think we'll be the favorite in that game. I think we'll be favored by two.
Wow.
I think we'll be favored.
Wow.
I'm telling you, listen, I think we'll be a 2-point favorite that week. And anyway, I think we're going to shock the world. That shouldn't say shock the world. We're going to handle Florida State so well. And of course, Monroe and Wisconsin, we're going to beat those teams, I believe, so badly that we're going to be from have moved from 8 to probably 3, somewhere in there, depending on the other teams. And I think Georgia's starting off at 4, I believe, right? Anyway, I think we'll be right there with them in the rankings. And I think we'll be favored by 1 or 2 at Georgia. So that being said, I like this team at Georgia. I do. I like them. I think they're built for this. And I don't love their quarterback. I don't love Georgia's quarterback. And so, yeah, I don't know if that's a big shocker, but I like us there. I like us at Georgia.
Excellent. So we get the win. I predicted that we would lose at Georgia and that would be our first loss. I think Kirby's so good. And it's really going to be a battle of similar teams. They've recruited really well. We've recruited really well. They've used the portal to sprinkle in high-level acquisitions. I think there's going to be similarities between the way the teams are built. Now, Smart is more in the Saban mold of coaching, and DeBoer is a little bit different. So there will be a difference in coaching styles. And it's going to be really fun to see with those differences in coaching styles between a Kane Womack defense and a Kirby Smart defense. And Kalen DeBoer, Ryan Grubb offense versus a Kirby defense. And then also Georgia's offense led by Gunnar Stockton. Can he do a Stetson Bennett? And I'm talking good Stetson Bennett, not Stetson Bennett losing to Alabama, but Stetson Bennett winning the Natty and be a mediocre to good quarterback, but still eke out wins. So I think it's going to be really close. I think Georgia's probably going to get us by a field goal or a touchdown. Just the home field advantage is going to be too much. So I think we're going to get our first loss, but I love the optimism. So you've got us undefeated with Vanderbilt coming into Tuscaloosa. Fire away.
So Vanderbilt, some people would call that a trap game, and most years it would be. I think this year it's not, based on last year what happened. So I think, and also their quarterback has Pavia has been running his mouth. So I just don't think this offense and defense, they're going to overlook this team. I think it's going to be, as Doc Holliday said in the movie Tombstone, it's not revenge we're after, it's the reckoning. I think we're going to get them pretty badly. So it's a win in Tuscaloosa against Vanderbilt.
I agree with you. I think it's a big win. I think Diego Pavia has run his mouth. Vanderbilt on the road in Bryant-Denny had they did win in 1984. Somehow they came here and beat Alabama, but they haven't won in Bryant-Denny since. It's going to be a different deal. We're not going to overlook them. The revenge game. I'm with you. We roll through Vandy. Okay, at Missouri.
So at Missouri, that's the first trap game, I think, in my opinion. But I do think, again, John, I hate to keep, sounding like a broken record, but I just think we're better than this team and significantly better. And Kalen DeBoer is going to show you, Bama John, that he can win on the road twice in a row.
Amen. I want
Yeah,
him to do that.
two in a row at Georgia and at Missouri. He's going to be a 2-0 on the road. I think we beat Wisconsin. I mean, beat Missouri by 15.
Wow. I predicted that we would win at Missouri as well. I said it would be a close game. Just it's kind of like Saban sometimes would go on the road and we'd have a much better team and we'd eke the win out. But I'll take a 1-point win, a 3-point win, a 7-point win, any way they can get the win. I do think having this being the third SEC game in a row with no break, we're going to be a little tired going to Missouri. I'm worried about that, But I do think, again, it's portal team versus a recruiting team. And I think our team that's built based on high-level recruiting, supplemented by key acquisitions from the portal, beats a team that had to rebuild through the portal. I think we get Missouri. But by the way, Missouri has the weakest schedule in the SEC. And this is probably Missouri's first tough game of the season is playing us. Missouri could go 10-2 or 9-3, just because they get to play Vanderbilt, they get to play Mississippi State, they get to
Play
play
Georgia.
Kentucky. Missouri has a weak schedule. So I think we agree there. Tennessee, how about that? What's the prediction there?
Well, I like Tennessee. I like us in that game as well. Sorry to, I know that's a surprise to hear me say that, but I like them at home against Tennessee. I like the fact that Tennessee, man, they lost their quarterback. They're having to, juggle the pieces right now. I just don't think they're going to be as potent as they were last year. And I mean, we didn't play great up there, but I think we're gonna. I just think we're going into this game, what, 5 or 6-0, and I just think we're too much for them, John, at home. I do.
I agree with you. We're going to beat them here. They did lose a lot of players to the draft that were high quality. They've gotten younger, less experienced, had to go into the portal to pull players in. We're better than they are, and we've got them at home. We're going to beat them 10 to 20 points. It's going to be a pretty good beat down here. So I'm not worried about that game other than just it'll be four SEC games in a row. And as long as we're healthy, I think we get them pretty good. Okay.
Hey,
At
John, I will
seven,
say
yes.
this. I will say this. I think Tennessee is going to play kind of their third game is at home against Georgia. Okay. That's their third game. I think they're going to play great in that game and give Georgia a scare. I don't think Georgia's going to lose, but I think Georgia's going to win that game by 10 or less. And that's part of the reason I think that coming, Georgia gets a bye week. We get a bye week. I think momentum is going to favor us, and I think we're going to be, like I said, a 1-point favorite at Georgia only because of the way they perform at Tennessee. I think we're going to have three games. We just kill teams,
Right.
and anyway, so I think yeah, that's why I think Georgia is going to look not as good as us on TV. They're going to go to Tennessee and struggle, and then we're going to beat them at home. I'm telling you.
And then we're going to beat Tennessee. So you
Yeah.
have us undefeated going to South Carolina on October 25th. Is that right?
I do, and I'm worried about that game, John.
Me
I'm worried
too.
about that game. Yeah, I'm most worried about that game. I have a check mark on my schedule. I like Beamer a lot. I like what he's done there. I think they're getting better every year, and I think that's a disciplined team. I think it's going to be hard to win there, but I got us winning, baby. I got us winning. I got us winning. Let's go. Let's
We
go.
shut down Lenore Sellers.
Yeah.
I will say that South Carolina lost some key players to the draft. So their roster is not quite as good. Lenore Sellers is better. He's had another year of experience. He's going to be tough to deal with, but their roster is not quite as good as it was last year. And I
Yeah.
think our roster's better. I think that helps us. But I did pick us to lose at South Carolina. I thought five SEC games in a
Right.
row, that was going to be our letdown game. We were going to struggle and we were going to lose at South Carolina. So I had us taking a loss there and with Lenore Sellers playing out of his mind. Now, if he turns the ball over three times like he did here, we're going to beat him. But I don't think he's going to cough the ball up as much, another year under his belt. But I just view that as, like Georgia, really tough road game. And they've got that dynamic dual threat quarterback that always gives Alabama problems. Have us losing there. I hope you're right.
So I just think that the, like you're right, I think we'll be limping into the bye week. I think we'll win. I don't think we'll cover the spread there. I think it's going to be a 1-score game at South Carolina. And I think the much needed bye week to follow, it will be huge.
And then we have the bye week, and then we have LSU coming to
Hey, we have Brian Kelly's number. We have it.
town.
Yeah, Ty Simpson isn't a just true running quarterback because if he were, Brian Kelly couldn't stop him, but I do think we're going to beat LSU at home. And I think we'll be rested, ready to go. I think we win that game by 14.
I agree with you. We're going to beat LSU. And I have a bold prediction. Ty Simpson is going to be the higher rated quarterback and have the better season over Garrett Nussmeier.
Let's go. Go. I love it.
I think Nuss is really good, but number one, he's got what is it? Some kind of tendonitis in his patella, and I think that's not going to get better over the course of the season. He's not mobile.
He's not
He
mobile.
can
No.
throw, but Ty Simpson is much more mobile, and I think Ty Simpson probably has as good an arm as Nussmeier does. So at the end of the season, Ty Simpson's going to be the SEC, one of the first team or second team or third team all SEC quarterbacks, and Nussmeier is not. And Nussmeier still may get drafted and come out, or I guess he has to. This may be his true senior year, but I think Ty Simpson is going to be the better quarterback this year, and we're going to
I
beat
think
LSU.
I agree with you. I think he'll be better. He'll have better statistics. He'll be better, period. And I think one of his targets, Ryan Williams, will be in New York for the Heisman.
I'm predicting 3,000 yard receivers with 10 plus touchdowns each, meaning Bernard,
Right.
Horton, and Williams all get 1,000, and you can't double all three of them.
No.
And if they've each got 10 TD passes, that means Simpson's throwing for 30 something, maybe even 40 TD passes this year. I'm really excited about the aerial game that we're going to have this year and the ability to move the ball. We beat LSU, then Oklahoma comes in. Give me your take on Oklahoma.
Yeah, Oklahoma, they're not as good as us again. And at home, I think based on last year's loss, I think this is a better team. We're a better team. They lost their quarterback to Auburn, right? Jackson
Yes.
Arnold. And so they're trying to fill that role too. I just think we beat them. I don't think it's really close.
I will say John Mateer scares me. He is coming out of Washington State and had a fantastic year last year. And he came over with Ben Arbuckle from Washington State, who's going to be the OC. So Mateer is a concern. He's a legitimate top level SEC quarterback who's going to play on Sundays. He's a dual threat quarterback. That concerns me. But Oklahoma, again, is another team trying to get that instant fix through the portal because they haven't recruited as well as they needed to hang in there. We've got a better team. We've got a junior senior team that's been together. They're more trying to get the mix. Now, we'll be late in the season, so maybe they've had time to get all those portal guys in there and get the chemistry you need and be effective, but they're coming here. We're going to beat them in here. I am worried about Mateer.
Yeah.
They could be a tough offense and a Brent Venables defense. He's a great defensive coach, but we've got the weapons. We've got more talent. We should beat them. We're going to win that game. Eastern Illinois, I assume steamroll, nothing to talk
I
about.
feel good about that game, John. I really do. I think we got
Okay.
it.
Okay. Then
At
there's the
Auburn.
Iron Bowl at Auburn.
Auburn makes me nervous again, of course. So my nervous meter goes up at South Carolina and at Auburn this year. I think we'll be number one in the country going into Auburn, or number two, somewhere in there. And
So
Auburn,
you have
who knows?
us coming in undefeated, correct?
Undefeated at Auburn, yes. And
Yeah,
I
I think if we're coming in undefeated, we're going to be number one in the country. An
yeah.
SEC team undefeated, I think we'll, because I think a lot of these other top level teams will have had a loss.
Yeah, Penn State maybe. I don't know, but I don't know. But yeah, I just think we'll be going in undefeated at Auburn, and I like it, John. I like us at Auburn. Let's go. Let's go. Now,
So you're predicting an undefeated season.
well, so this is what I mean. So what I meant by when I earlier I said, "Hey, I'm going to tell you game by game." I can't. I just think we'll be the favorite in every game.
Okay.
Favorite, even at Georgia, barely. So I like us in every game. I would not bet against us in any game based on what I think about our team. But I see us losing one. I don't know which one it is. I don't know. I think we're going to go 11-1 in the regular season. And I
Pick
don't know who we lose to.
your most likely place where we're going to stumble. Which game do you think, if you had to pick one, it's
At
probably either
South
Georgia,
Carolina.
South, okay, at South Carolina. So we're going to go 11-1. And if you had to pick the loss, you'd say South Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We make the
That's
playoffs clearly. If we go
well,
11
I
and
got
one,
us
we
going.
make the playoffs.
I have us playing Texas in Atlanta, and beating Texas.
For
And
the Natty?
well, going to the playoffs,
Okay,
beating Texas. I'm
Oh,
sorry,
the
beating,
SEC.
yeah,
Yes,
SEC
SEC
championship, beating
championship.
Texas in Atlanta, going to the playoffs. And you have a bye this year. All four the major conferences get a bye this year. And so I think we're going to go in at, if we're 11-1, probably go at number two, maybe behind, I don't know who, Ohio State, Penn State. I don't know. Yeah, I have this going all the way, John. Number 19.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Now listen to this, John. I was looking at this earlier today, and that's my prediction. And I thought, you know what? I do want to see. I knew Josh Pate. He does a lot of online. He's a big
Yeah.
college football.
Big
I
name.
wanted to see what he thought too. And so this is, I looked at his, and he has us winning the whole thing too, which doesn't mean anything, but I was surprised. He had Alabama also playing Texas in the SEC championship game. I thought, man, maybe I'm onto something. And then he had Alabama playing, I think the Arizona State winner, anyway, has Alabama winning, going to play Texas in the semifinals. And then he has Alabama playing Oregon in the championship game. So we'll see. But
I
that was kind
love
of cool.
it.
Yeah.
So Brad Powers is a big time college prognosticator, handicapper, better, and he has his two favorite teams to win the national championship. One is Notre Dame and two is
What?
Alabama. He thinks
Oh.
Notre Dame is loaded and that they've got lots of returning guys, and he was really impressed with what they did last year. And other than having to replace a quarterback, he thinks that they can repeat the magic. And those were his two best bets to win the Natty. And I love the fact that he put Alabama ahead of Penn State, Clemson, Ohio State, Oregon, fill in the blank that he had us. And he said Alabama's really being underrated and that they have the recipe to do it. And he said it was junior, senior laden
Yeah.
teams. Recruited really, really well, used the transfer portal to plug a few holes, but didn't try to rebuild the team. And he thinks that Grubb and DeBoer combination, DeBoer's second year, he loves Alabama. So I love the optimism. I had us going 10-2. We're going to lose two games. I thought it was an advantage not to have to play in the SEC championship game. And then we're going to pull Ohio State. And even though we're not one of the top four seeds, we're going to be well rested going into the playoffs, and then we're just going to blitz through the playoffs. And even though you don't cut down the nets, we're going to tear down the goalposts, win the Natty, and I don't know who it'll be, but that's my prediction. So I'm right there with you.
Let's go. That's huge. Hey, on that Notre Dame idea, I just happened to look at their schedule, and they have a weak schedule. I mean,
Yeah.
they play at A&M, and that's about it. And so, I mean, yeah, they very likely could be like number one in the country, which is crazy. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, so I have us. The ceiling is 12-0 in the season. I have a floor of 9-3. And I think we're gonna go 11-1 and then win the whole thing.
So my ceiling was 11-1. I didn't think there's any way we're going undefeated in the regular season. We're going to trip up somewhere. I had the floor as 8-4, that if DeBoer doesn't solve his road trip issues, we could lose four games. That would be bad. We know that it would be just really bad. And then I had the 10-2 prediction, but then we'll get hot, get healthy, go into the playoffs and run the tables rested. So that was my prediction. I love your prediction. I love your optimism. Can't wait till Saturday.
Me too.
Any parting shots or thoughts before we wrap this thing up about Saturday and anything else?
I have a quick question. So, Auburn plays Friday night, right? At Baylor. Just curious, would you rather play at Baylor or at Florida State?
Ooh.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
I think I'd rather play at Baylor, quite
Yeah,
honestly.
I think so too. I think Florida State has more talent and it's a harder place to play.
Yes.
Yeah, but anyway, all that being said, final shots. Tell you what, Bama John, I'm just looking forward to this season. I think we're going to have a great team, fundamentally sound, well coached. It's going to be hard. I think we're going to be a hard team to beat. Hard team to beat. So let's go. Roll
Let's
Tide.
go and roll tide. Thank you for listening. God bless. Roll Tide. And I can't wait till Saturday. And I want that team to prove our optimism is well founded.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.